speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
We are continuing in our series of lessons in regard to sad statements of the Bible. And as I thought with regard to some sad statements of the Bible, I believe that some of the saddest words are found in what the Apostle Paul exclaimed to Timothy, the young evangelist, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and verse 4. In the context there, the Apostle Paul has identified is that a time would come when some would not endure sound doctrine. There would come a time, as Paul had been given revelation, no doubt, from our God, is that man would no longer seek after the truth. And as a result of that, then that denominationalism would come about and men would be led to believe things that are contrary to the will of God. You and I know that indeed we are in a place today where that so many people do not endure sound doctrine. But you know, as we look with regard to what the Bible teaches us, friends, it all started out according to our God's eternal plan. Whenever Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, whenever He was going about doing the will of our God, He knew full well what it was that He had been sent to do, not only to die to provide a means of redemption for mankind, but also to establish His kingdom. The prophets of old had prophesied that the God of heaven would establish a kingdom that would endure forever, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. In the days of Isaiah, Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah chapter 2 verses 1 through verse 4, is that the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem, Mount Zion, and that all nations of the earth, of the world, would flow into that kingdom. Friends, as we come into the New Testament Scripture and during the life and teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it. As we look with reference to the things that the prophets had said years before Jesus ever came into this world, as well then, as we examine the words of our Lord, then look into the book of Acts chapter 2, we find that the Lord's church began exactly as our Lord had said. We read in regard to the inception or the beginning of the church and how that men of God spoke as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. How that these men that day, the day of Pentecost, proclaimed salvation in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. As a result of what the Apostle Peter and others had taught that day, the Bible identifies to us, according to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, that many became pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, men, what must we do in order to be saved? Is what they are considering. And Peter told them to repent therefore and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, that day, according to what we find in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, about 3,000 souls put Christ on in baptism. They were added that day unto the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we look with regard to the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord and Savior, we read beyond Acts chapter 2 and into Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5. And we find is that in Jerusalem, the church was growing in leaps and bounds, but also we understand that a persecution arose whenever a man by the name of Stephen was proclaiming the will of God. And we also understand, as we consider this very fact, is that this was indeed according to God's plan, is that the church there in Jerusalem was persecuted for the sins of which they had made in their commitment to our God, but also in the sins that they were making in their proclamation, continual proclaiming of God's will before the people of that day. Friends, as a result of that, we understand is that the kingdom of God expanded into the region of Judea and Samaria exactly and according to our God's eternal plan. You see, God knew that His Christians and that His message would not be received by everyone, and that this persecution that the church was facing actually would lead for the betterment of the kingdom, for the spread of the gospel throughout the entirety of the world. And that is indeed what we read as we gather from the context of the book of Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through verse 12. Also though, friends, God wants us to understand, as we read in regard to the church and how that the church was growing numerically and spiritually shortly after it began, is that God's kingdom was open not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile. And that's where we are in the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through verse 48, when Peter is in Caesarea, and there he is teaching a man by the name of Cornelius. And this man and his household becomes the first Gentile converts. In this, the Apostle Peter certainly questioned what it was that he was doing, because as a Jew, he saw the Gentiles unclean. But friends, God revealed before him by way of revelation that God, the God of heaven who had created all of mankind, and the God who loves all of humanity, is now extending salvation unto whosoever will may come. In regard to these matters, friends, we also understand is that God's kingdom, the Lord's people, they took the gospel in places that certainly was not popular during that day and time. Take into consideration, the Christians later on were going to face persecution by the hand of Rome, Roman emperors. But yet at the same time, the Apostle Paul and others did not allow this to stand in their way of going forward even unto those who are Rome. Why would I bring this point out? Because we're given an instance in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, in chapter 16 and verse 16, as well as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, where the Apostle Paul identifies in regard to some saints in Rome who were with him, and a part of his conclusion of that epistle to the saints at Philippi. That tells us is that some at Rome, in Caesar's household, mind you, were being brought unto salvation in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the Bible identifies to us is that the apostles were sent forth and equipped to deliver the truth. And friends, these men went and did exactly as our God commanded or commissioned them to do. You will recall as you read from the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and following that the apostles, the Lord's chosen men, were assembled together. And in that assembly, they are waiting upon the Lord to appear before them. And Jesus does appear before them, and He issues unto them that all power or authority has been given to me, He says, in heaven and on earth. And then He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And friends, that is exactly what they did. They went out as God sent them, equipped by guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit to make sure that everything that they were proclaiming was indeed the will of God. And after the Lord's church began, we also understand is that the Lord's people, those who were putting Christ on in baptism, evidently they too had been taught by whom the apostles, I would contend, had told them to go forth and to tell their families, to go out and to share the good news with their neighbors, to go into their communities and to share even with strangers how that God offers salvation unto everyone. But yet man must put their will aside for the will of our God. And friends, what we find in regard to this matter is that these people went into their homes, into their communities, sharing Jesus Christ exactly according to the way in which would be pleasing and acceptable to our God. What did they face as a result of that? Well, we know that indeed they faced a reception from time to time where the people were very receptive to the things that were being taught. And that's where, in the context of the book of Acts especially, that we find multitudes of men and women who were putting Christ on in baptism. And then we read also in regard to not only what is found in the Acts of the church, but in the epistles, that the church was growing spiritually and developing according to God's eternal plan. in regard to these matters, friends, we also understand is that not only do we find is that they were received, a lot of times they were rejected. And as a result of that rejection, they were persecuted and scattered for the things of which they were standing in. But God assures us in regard to those people, as well as is a promise to you and me today, that if we will have a devotion to God, if we will have 100% faith in our God, is that we will be able to not only persevere, but to prevail, to be able to succeed in standing firm for God and in helping His church grow universally. How did we get from the inception of the church and the growth of the church to the words of what Paul identified in regard to Timothy, the young evangelist, that a time would come that they would not endure sound doctrine? Was God caught off guard in regard to these matters? Did God not know that a time would come after the church had been planted, after the church has gone universally, is that men would not adhere to the truth on an ongoing basis? Absolutely not. Our God realized full well in eternity, according to His eternal plan, in regard to the fact that some would turn away. We understand, as Jesus walked upon the face of the earth, friends, as He lived here, He walked about as 100% man, but also as 100% divine deity, God Himself. He pre-existed in heaven with God as God, John chapter 1 and verse 1. He is eternal in every aspect as the Father, as well as what we find in regard to the Holy Spirit. But also, according to what we find in the book of Acts, or John chapter 1 and verse 14, He became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And whenever Jesus was here, walking upon the face of the earth, doing the will of our Heavenly Father, working, if you would, in His own personal ministry for the souls of mankind, our Lord spoke very explicitly of an impending apostasy that would take place. I want to draw our attention to the context of the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and following. And in our Wednesday night class, we have been going over this, as well as in part this morning, we also touched upon this. But in regard to the things that are given in the context there, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord draws a very clear picture, is that a time would come that He was much aware of, that our Heavenly Father certainly knew about, where the people would come about and that they would disguise themselves as His disciples. But yet at the same time, they would be wolves. They would not be sheep of God's, but rather they would be wolves. And they would be out to devour the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, also, we understand as the Apostle Paul was going about as an apostle, an inspired man of God, how that God was working with and through him and the other apostles, is that the Apostle Paul, in his exhortation to the elders at Ephesus, in the book of Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through verse 34, or verse 33, he identifies in that context there, is that the elders there need to take heed over the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit had made them overseers. Why? Because he identified is that even amongst the elders, evidently there at Ephesus, is that some of them would be amongst those who would apostatize, who would walk away from the Lord. And their motivation was no longer to serve God and to bring people to God, but rather to have people following after them. And Paul warned them about this very fact. But friends, also, the Bible identifies to us is that the Spirit of God expressly told that men would depart from the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through verse 5. But then in like figure, Paul warned of a time when men would not stand firm. And this is in the context of our reading tonight, where that he is telling Timothy. And I want to begin back in verse 1, where he says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that is a very serious and high, solemn charge. It doesn't get any higher or any more serious than this. This message is given by God, not strictly the Apostle Paul. He says He will judge the living and the dead as His appearing and kingdom. What message did he have for Timothy to begin with? He says, preach the Word. Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means, Timothy, whenever the people want to hear the truth, you proclaim it in truth, clarity, and passion. But at the same time, Timothy, whenever a time comes about when they do not want to hear the truth, you continue to proclaim the truth. To what level? He says in regard to this matter, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? And that brings us down to the sad statement here. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside unto fables. Why would men no longer endure sound doctrine? He says that they will not desire the truth, but rather they'll go according to their own desires. He says that they'll have itching ears. Their ears will not be satisfied with the truth. They'll gripe and complain about it, Timothy, whenever you're telling them the truth. But Timothy, don't allow that to turn you away from standing and doing the work of an evangelist, the work of the minister. And friends, you and I know that indeed the words of the Apostle Paul came true. As we read from the epistles, we understand from the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through verse 9, is that Judaizer teachers soon influenced Christianity with a perverted gospel. And we talked about that at length last week. We also understand, as we read in regard to not only from a biblical standpoint, but from a historical perspective, is that a group known as the Gnostics, Gnosticism, challenged saints with its so-called wisdom. And if you would have asked them how they gained the wisdom of which they had, they would have said, we don't know. But yet at the same time, we are the knowing ones. And what we know in knowing is that you do not know. And we know that you can't come to the knowledge of which we have. And friends, while today we look at a doctrine such as that and we say, that is crazy. Why would anyone believe that? And how would anyone be challenged by that? Evidently, according to what we find in regard to the evidence of it in the New Testament Scriptures, that many were being brought into that. They were buying into that. And as a result of that, many were challenged in regard to their faith and commitment to the Lord. But friends, it didn't stop with Gnosticism. We understand that, as you and I know from a historical standpoint, the development of Roman Catholicism. And there was a time when I'm going to say from a world standpoint that Roman Catholicism stole the spotlight even from the body of Christ. And in that, it has caused many to challenge and to say that the Church of Christ was not in existence during that time frame. But friends, I tell you that the Church of Christ, the Lord's Church, the one true body of Christ that Jesus Christ established in His death at Pentecost, it has always continued even into this very day. From Roman Catholicism, we found the development of the Protestant movement. And the Protestants are those who were protesting against the Catholic Church. They saw that there were things that they were teaching in Roman Catholicism that did not line up with Scripture. And the problem with the Protestants is that they still, though, they did not want to restore New Testament Christianity, but rather they wanted to reform the Roman Catholic Church. They said, let's take elements of the Church that we like, and then let's reform it into something else that looks closer to what God had in mind. And friends, that is exactly what they did. And yet at the same time, because that is exactly what they did, they missed the whole point. They were not able to have New Testament Christianity. They were not in line with the first century church. They were denominationalism. And friends, you and I know that that still exists unto this very day. Sadly. Then, and sadly, even into this very hour, there are then those individuals who do not endure sound doctrine, but rather they have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears and going according to their own lust and their own desire. And as the Lord's church, though, our God wants us to understand the importance of you and me as His disciples to make sure that we are constantly engaged in reading and studying the Bible. When we look with regard to these people, a lot of them read the Bible, but I do not believe that they really and truly study the Bible. I believe that they read the Bible for the things that they believe, the things that they've been taught. I believe that they read the Bible and in part maybe study the Bible to prove their theology according to the way in which maybe they have been reared. But at the same time, as I have said a number of times and as others who have filled the pulpit and also classrooms contend, is that we need to read the Bible and to study the Bible from the context of which God has given it. And whenever we read and find the truth that is found in the Bible, friends, we need to believe it. And not only to believe it, but also to embrace it and to accept nothing else than sound doctrine in order for us to remain faithful and true to our God. And whenever it comes to those who will not endure sound doctrine, the Bible makes it very clear to us is that we have a responsibility to expose false teachers and their ungodly, dark works. Why? Friends, because they are working against God. While if you ask them if they are believers in God, they would most certainly say, yes, we are. But you and I know that as we read and study them and their doctrine and the things that they preach and teach, the things that they do from a religious and worship standpoint, the things that they would contend that pertain to becoming a Christian, is that they do not endure sound doctrine. And therefore, we need to stand opposed to those individuals who teach contrary to the will of God. And we need to make sure that we expose that those who teach this darkness to the world. Because our efforts is to bring souls to the Lord and not to allow Satan to rob them of being able to be a New Testament Christian. But then also tonight, as we think with regard to our need to stand fast, we must educate and establish new converts in the truth. That's one thing that troubles me time and time again, is oftentimes we'll find people who are baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And yet at the same time, they are in the door, and then next thing you know, they're out the door. And one thing that I have been impressed with some of the missionaries who come in and talk to us who are doing works in foreign fields, is that they talk about not only those that they've been able to baptize into Christ, but also how that many have been able to be retained in Christ. Because in reality, that's what it's all about, is making sure that we have the retention to be able to hold them in Christ. And the way in which this is accomplished is if we will follow according to the Lord's will, going back to the Great Commission where the apostles were told to go forth and to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Note also verse 20 of Matthew chapter 28. He says, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. When people put Christ on in baptism, more times than not, they know little to nothing. They know the basic principles of what it means to become a Christian. And therefore, we need to do all that we can do in working with these brothers and sisters to help them grow to where that they are not tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but rather that they are, as what God expects us to be, rooted and grounded in the truth. Whenever men are rooted, whenever Christians are rooted and grounded in the truth, friends, they will not be a part of those who will not endure sound doctrine, because they will know the difference between what the truth is and what the devil is trying to project in place of the truth. If you're here tonight and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want you to know God's love. God's love in the ultimate sense is seen in Jesus Christ our Lord, in the fact that He sent Christ into the world, and Jesus came very willingly to die for the sins of mankind, to give us a means of redemption. And if you are not a New Testament Christian, you've not taken you've not taken the privilege that God has laid before you to become a Christian, to have your sins washed away and to be added into His body. And therefore, tonight we want to extend the invitation to you to become a Christian, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. But it may be also that we have a brother or sister in Christ who would like for us to pray with you. Maybe it be that you would need to be restored. It may be also that you might be able to just be stronger as a Christian. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.